So, all right, so we run the Smalley Institute, and that means we do live events all over the world, and we have the Smalley Marriage Intensive Program that is for couples in crisis. We have 8 locations currently, actually 9, okay. So 8 across the U.S. and 1 in South Africa that do the intensive program. So that's a one-on-one program, and it's really powerful. So it's something we invented back in the late 90s. And couples come for 2 or 3 days in a row from 9 a.m. till 5 p.m. each day. So anybody ever spend 14 straight hours just dealing on your relationship? That's the point. So it's been highly successful. 8 years later, after couples had gone through the intensive program, and many are in crisis, but not all. Mm-hmm. Some couples are smart enough when they're really stuck to go get help. Others wait until, you know, they come in and say, "Help us, Obi-Wan, you're our only hope." And so 8 years later, 85% of the couples were still together. And they had increased in satisfaction dramatically over that time. And so we continue to research it today. And it just teaches some very effective things. I think the best part of it is the one-on-one part, mm-hmm. is where you get to go, this is what we deal with, this is what we struggle with, and then we kind of give you the stuff that'll work to get you in a healthy place. Mm-hmm. And it really dictates a lot of what we teach. So we try to, you know, have a healthy foundation.
Yes.
In what we're doing. We're not just making this stuff up.
That's right.
Except this week. Most of this week is made up.
Actually, this week we're going to start off tonight a concept that your family, the legacy of your family, and truly the legacy of our family, we teach our kids this stuff. Like all the time, we teach our kids. You know, it's crazy that our kids when we had Colin at Reagan, we were both in grad school. So yeah. We went to Wheaton College. For those of you that don't know, somewhere in the blurb there's a thing that says Amy was a Baylor cheerleader and so was Michael. So that's another story. For those of you that haven't been around, guess what? We may or may not. We're probably not going to share that one. So you might have to ask me or him. About that. But we met
I like
at Baylor.
To think of it. I was a Division 1 athlete.
Yes. Yes.
That's how I describe it.
Yes. And so we met at Baylor and then we went to Wheaton and we had already at the time when we transferred, Michael transferred to Wheaton, we had Cole and then later we had Reagan and a lot of this, stuff, when you're a therapist and you're training to be, a counselor or whatever, everybody just tries to, be uplifting and encouraging. And one of my friends said, your kids are going to need so much less therapy than everybody else. And I was like, wow, less therapy. Speaking of, Colin Reagan, what? There they are.
Wow.
Woohoo.
Now you know who the real cheerleader is.
Yeah.
Oh, that was high energy.
I'm so excited. My babies are here. They started driving from Texas.
Houston.
Yeah.
This morning.
No, not this morning. No. But they drove from Texas.
In a Ferrari.
And then, they drove from Texas to El Paso, spent the night in El Paso, almost didn't get to rent the hotel because, Cole's like a couple months shy of being 21. And so that's just craziness.
That's always a great phone call to get in the middle of the night. Dad, they're not letting us check in. What do you mean they're not letting you check? They have a rule. And so I finally had to get on with the manager or the pseudo manager. I called her little Hitler.
Stop. Not to her face.
She was absurd. And I go, ma'am, what is the problem? Well, we've opened up a bar, and if they're minors, they could get alcohol into the room. I go, how? Like, at some point, they have to buy it from you. You'd have to sell it to them. Or if you brought it to the room, you could check their ID. What are they going to do? Are they going to sleep on the streets? Like home?
Yeah. So anyway, so we're very excited that they're here. Yay!
But who talked her into letting you check in?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You did.
You need schmoozing, you come to me.
Yeah, I'm not quite the best at schmoozing. I did. I actually, when Cole called.
I did
called,
start crying
Cole,
a little.
When Cole called and said that, I was like, you need to call Dad. I think he'll be able to help better than me.
You would
I just
start
get
yelling
mad.
At
he would get, yeah, I get mad. And you get mad, but no one can tell.
No one knows.
Yes, no one knows.
I could be plotting one of your deaths
anyway,
right now.
But No.
You'd have no idea
okay,
it's coming.
So we're talking about less therapy. So yes, we as you know, as counselors and as Christ followers, we really do want to instill in our family and in our children the values that are important to us. And you guys get to instill those same values. So what are the values? What is it that you want to impart in your children? And that's really what we're going to be talking about this week.
Yeah, we called it the Secrets to a Close-Knit Family. You know, I've been very nostalgic since my father graduated. I don't know if you heard. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Hopefully.
We were there.
Not everybody was there.
Oh, who was there? Who wasn't there this morning?
See?
Who did not go to church this morning? I want your name, address, and how much you tithe in the last 7 months. You can tell I'm not very religious, so
yeah.
I apologize.
So,
I just want to say I'm super thrilled about a lot of the young faces. This is good. Are you coming because I talked about my dad dying? You're like, we want to hear more inappropriate stories. And I have them.
Oh, please don't. Don't encourage them.
I have so many.
So we're talking about the secret of the close-knit family.
Yes. But for those of you who are technologically addicted as I am, if you get, you might already have our app, which is called Reignite Your Marriage. And it's totally free. We're not pushing anything. But the reason I like to highlight it is when you download it, so if you get the Wi-Fi package or whatever, I'd really encourage you. I don't even know if they'll let you download stuff on the App Store, actually, now that I think about it.
Wait until you get home.
Drive down to Fresno tomorrow morning. Download it. Come back up.
No.
But what's cool is on the home page of the app, this is kind of what it looks like. When you scroll down, there's actually a place for you to leave or ask live event Q&A. So that has been by far one of my favorite things we've ever added to our ministry and live events. Because a lot of times, obviously, you're not going to stand up and ask a really personal question. And well, you might. This
but
is a different kind of conference.
Your spouse may kill you if you
yeah.
Do. Yeah.
So we have gotten so many good questions now over the last year and a half or so that we launched the app. So if you have it already, you can submit your question. And we'd love to, I love taking questions. So that's, I think, many times where the best stuff mm-hmm. comes from. So we've been doing this a very long time, for many moons.
Yes, long time. And it's crazy that, you know, Michael, the secret of the close-knit family, this was something that when we were doing the research on it and talking about it, that it really, you just were like, oh my gosh, this so fits. And I think that when you were talking about nostalgic and how, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's funny that, Michael, we loved Poppy. I called him Poppy. I have a dad, but he was my Poppy. It's funny how the stages of grief kind of go. So there's a part of it that is almost like too close. And then now that it's kind of been a little bit over a year and a half almost, there's a part of it now, you know, and when you were talking today and you were talking about the gift of, you know, the gift of hardship or the, you know, gift of suffering. Sorry, the gift of suffering. Hardship was
yes.
the same thing. Okay, the gift of suffering. I even took notes. I should have been able to get that. Okay, the gift of suffering. One of the things that, you know, kind of came to my mind.
By the way, there is nothing sexier than your wife taking notes while you teach. I didn't know she's ever done that. So she's like, here, let me look at my notes. I go, what notes? So I took notes of your sermon. That's why I went, oh, you did. Exactly why we were late today.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Anyway, so as I was thinking about that,
David's like, wait, is that why you shut the door?
No, stop.
No, nothing happened.
No, stop.
Or did it?
Stop. No. Okay, the secret of the close-knit family. This was the thing that as you were thinking about your dad and thinking about what does it mean to truly, what was his biggest thing? For those of you that know anything about Gary Smalley, what was the thing that he talked over and over and over and over again? It's one word. Remember? It was honor.
I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Honor. He always talked about honor. And that is kind of one of the biggest mm-hmm. secrets to our close-knit family.
It is. Let me put my own children on the stump. So what are the three most important things on earth? Honoring yourself, yeah.
There you go.
Cole didn't answer. Oh, he's already gone. That makes sense.
How honoring is that? Thank you. Appreciate that, Cole.
Updating.
Yeah, he went to go see his girlfriend.
Updating the will currently. So that, I mean, yeah. So let me help you out a little bit with your family. So how many of you are married and have a family? How many of you were born into a family? Right? It's all of us, okay? And I think sometimes people get ultra stressed out, right? Especially when you're first starting off and you first start having like that first kid comes and you're terrified that you're going to mess them up. Is that fair? So usually what I do is say, relax. I guarantee you're going to mess them up. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's no avoiding, you know, your children cannot, they're going to leave your home with baggage. All right, but let's keep it to like carry-on size. Right, you don't want them leaving your house with trunkfuls of baggage. That's, you've probably not done maybe as good of a job as you could have. But you need to relax as a parent. You need to relax as a family. Things are not always going to, and actually just know, hopefully by the end of this week, you'll get that actually it's when things go wrong that it's the best for your family. That's the truth. It's when total hectic chaos breaks out, that is the thing that is going to really draw your family closer together than anything else can. So chill. They're going to be messed up because of you. And you're messed up because of your parents. It's a thing that none of us escape called
sin.
Yes. And so the point is that what I loved about what my dad did for us and what we've done for our children is, you know, part of this week too is trying to simplify what you really want to teach your children and what you really want to identify as a family. And it's those three things. Nothing else matters more than honoring God, honoring others, and honoring yourself. And if your kids, and if you can really apply that to your family, and if your kids can leave your home and they've been told that over and over and over again, it will become a part of their legacy as well. Mm-hmm. And it's never too large. It's never too large.
Never too large. That's right.
It's never too...
Never too late.
And when
or
I get
Lord,
tired, the speech one. Impediment comes.
That's right.
In waves. It's never too late to start. Mm-hmm. Or lart.
Or lart.
Whichever makes you more comfortable. So if I ever get a tattoo, and I really want a tattoo.
No.
Oh, I do.
No.
Now, originally, because God is a faithful God.
Yeah.
I wanted one like on yes. my chest, like not a big honking thing, but something cool. It'll be around Romans 12:10. But in South Africa, I was leading a men's retreat. And I was texting with one of my buddies back in Arizona, and he was getting a tattoo. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I totally want one. I wasn't thinking anything. I wasn't trying to hide anything. And what'd you do? You, like, got on my computer? Or
I don't know.
Somehow, my wife is texting me now going, oh, so you're going to get a tattoo behind my back? I'm like, where is she at? Because she was back in the...
Oh, because I was on your iPad or something. I could see it or something. I don't know what...
So yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, you're going to do this behind my back? I'm like, I'm talking with my friend. I wasn't trying to hide anything. Now I will. But I kind of got upset. I got pretty irritated with her. You would have known because I'd already hung up peacefully.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then I'm like, hey, this is my body. So I get to do what I want. So I kind of stormed out. I'm mad at God. I'm like, she's so controlling. And who's she to tell me what I can do with my own body? And so I'm like huffing and puffing. And I end up around this pool. And it's just guys. And I mean, it couldn't have been better timing. There's a dude coming out of the pool, and not sexy at all. He's totally identical to my size, my color, and he's coming out. He's like right next to me. He's like coming out of the pool up the steps. I looked and went, oh, he had a tattoo that had like, you know, and it was horrible looking. And I looked and went, fine, Lord, I won't get a stupid tattoo. That really happened too. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to get one on my chest. I am not getting one on my chest. I got to get in shape. Mm. Like that guy right there. You could get a chest tattoo.
Oh.
What? Am I right? Is this your wife? Yeah. I'm comfortable acknowledging a handsome man.
Okay.
She's not.
We should outdo honoring each other. One of the things that we truly do try to do, and honestly, there's a part of me, when I see my children for the first time, I'm going to honor them. I do not care where they've been, whatever, and we do that. We used to do that. When Michael used to come home from work, we honor each other. You come into the room, you are welcomed. And right now I'm the women's pastor, and there's a part of me that everybody's like, oh my gosh, Amy, you have so much energy. And I really, it's just because I have so much honor. I love the people that I am serving and the people that I'm ministering to. And I know sometimes they're hot messes. I know that sometimes they're, you know, they're off the wall, or they're a little crazy, or they're a little rebellious or whatever. But I'm telling you,
you're really describing women terribly.
I'm even saying my own children or you or the people that we
keep
we
me
love.
Out of this.
Sorry, right? Not you, Reagan or David. But anyway, and so being able to see them and being able to respond and being able to say, oh, Michael's how you always say, oh, wow, I can remember going, oh, Reagan, you are the most incredible 19-year-old granddaughter I have. And of course, he was the only 19-year-old granddaughter that he had, right, at the time. And if they had the same birthday, I can remember Cole and Hannah, they have like the same birthday, they're the same, you know, almost the same age, and be like, oh, you're the best granddaughter. And you know, I mean, that's just what he did. And that's what we do, is that we love each other. We honor each other. And and there's something about, you know, when we say we want to approve of our children. And, oh, I never really felt loved. I never really felt accepted. We're going to talk about the balance between loving someone and accepting all their behavior. There's a very big difference. There's a part of honoring someone says that you have intrinsic value. You're placing high value on that person. My children are the most important thing in life to me, besides Michael and God. Okay, and so there's a part of whenever they come into the room, whenever they're a part of my life, whenever I see them, I'm like, David, I come home from work, I'm like, oh, David, and he'll go, Ma. And then, you know, because he always calls me Ma, he'll go, Ma. And then we'll get up and we'll hug. That, it doesn't matter.
You
what
hug.
We,
he kind of
No, he
shrivels.
Doesn't. No, you do hug me, David. And
Prove
Reagan
it.
Even kisses me. Reagan, no. No, not now. Oh. Anyway, so we do that for each other, in that when you create a culture of honor and you create a culture of, and there's some of you like, oh, I'm just not very touchy-feely. I just don't really do that. I just, you know, I'm not really. Guess what? You're kind of going to have to break out of that.
Well, what's interesting about my father's story is by the time I came around, so I am almost 5 years younger than my brother and 7 years younger than my oldest, my sister. By the time I came around, my dad had become highly affectionate, highly soft touch and kisses and kind words. And apparently that was not him. My father was raised by an abusive alcoholic dude that was not around. And when he was around, he was nasty. I asked my dad once, I was writing some paper in grad school, I'm like, what's your fondest memory of your father? Fondest. My dad thought and he thought and he thought. And all of a sudden he finally goes, you know, every once in a while, he would let me hold his ashtray while he listened to the baseball game. That was his fondest memory, was holding an ashtray. And actually, you can buy the scent of cigarettes in the gift shop.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Michael's a little random.
It's there.
He gives you random facts throughout the time.
That's
yeah,
there.
It is.
There's
it's
a scented candle of tobacco.
Yeah, it is. Anyway.
And it's horrible.
So, I'm sorry.
I mean, okay. It's literally like, you like smell it. I'm like... It's like you walked into an apartment of 7 chain smokers.
Anyway.
So that was his fondest. So, because here's the point of that, is you have no excuse.
Right.
Now, I will say, I was very lucky to be born into a loving, affectionate family. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but overall, very loving and very affirming. So for me, it was very natural to be loving and affirming to my, you know, wife and to my children and to other people around me. But you have no excuse, because my father didn't have a clue how to do those things. And what he would tell you if he hadn't graduated is that it was a choice. Like at some point, if this isn't your kind of natural giftedness, it has to become. And so at some point, you have to choose honor. You have to say, this is important. Actually, there's nothing more important. So maybe, and I swear to you, God has used me in countless And this is going to be weird, especially after our conversation. But he has used me in countless guys' lives who have hang-ups around physical touch or hugging or softness, you know, that kind of, you know who I'm talking about. And I don't know why God uses me that way, but I blow that stuff up. So I'm just going to warn you right now. If I come in for the hug, just let me have it. Because if you don't, it's going to get a lot more uncomfortable.
That's right. Because you want to act out the appreciation that you feel. We need to act out. Love is a decision, but it's also love is an action. And it's crazy it's such a God thing that the more we're able to give it, then we receive it, and then it becomes more natural to us. It becomes more a part of who we are. And we're experiencing God's love as we're giving it. And there's a sense of when Jesus honored us with his sacrifice. This morning when I was praising and worshiping, and I, you know, so much of the songs are about Jesus' sacrifice and his blood, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's what our praise and worship is us honoring Jesus' sacrifice, honoring God, allowing his son to be sacrificed for our transgressions. And one of the things that, you know, another thing I learned today, high five, was remember when you were saying something about, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, and what did he say? And in my head, I thought, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thought that. Then I thought, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Okay, those things. But then the one that you said was totally different than that. The one that he said was...
I made it up.
No. The one that you said was, and I didn't really get it, is he said, you know, into your hands I commit my spirit. That meant that he trusted God with who he was. Man, I was like, babe, that's like some inspiring stuff. I know. That was awesome. So we need to trust each other and trust
God. Notice how shocked she is.
No, I'm a cheerleader. I'm honoring you, right?
Yes.
But being able to understand and being able to honor that God loves us and that we need to trust each other with that love and with that honor and giving that to other people is what makes our family truly, I think, different and significant in that we lavish each other. We try to outdo one another with how we honor each other.
Yeah, and that was what was cool is Romans 12:10 was my dad's life verse. And so those little things like that are going to stick with your families. When you really identify a scripture, it could be a section, it can be whatever, but when you really work at living that scripture out, it becomes a part of the DNA of your family. It truly does, to where your son might one day want to get a tattoo of that verse on his chest. So God's honor is different than the world's honor.
Yeah, because if you think about the world's honor, the world's honor is about it's about honor and rewards and heaping upon us with wealth and political clout and world power and celebrity status. There's so much of that we honor people that truly are not really honorable, right? There's a part of it that we honor them, and their position isn't even honorable. What are they called? Like the reality show stars and stuff. It's like, why are we honoring this person that can somehow tweet a million times or something like that? So, but you know, when I was thinking about this, and so those who thrive on the world's feeling of honor, it's fleeting in stature. It's unmindful that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is the one that God says, you know what? And I love the theme that we're going to be talking about, that the campers are going to be talking about Saul. Because Saul was someone that he did start out with a lot of humility. But what happened? It totally goes with his first. God opposes the proud because Saul eventually became very proud. And if you juxtaposition Paul versus David, they're both of them made a lot of mistakes. But what was the biggest difference between Saul and David? David repented. David did not make any excuses. He didn't say, I'm so sorry I did this, but it was because you were late and I know I shouldn't have done that, but and this is a great illustration for your children, right? But David, what did David do? When David sinned, he goes, I have not sinned against anyone but you. You alone, God, have I sinned against. And it wasn't that the punishment didn't happen, but what happened is that David had a contrite heart. And that's one of the things that we need to be able to honor in our family, honor within our children, when we see the difference, because we need to teach them the difference between a Saul repentance and a David repentance. Saul repentance has a lot of excuses. David repentance says, I get it. And they're truly turning from that, and that is repentance. God honors that kind of repentance. God honors the humble.
So one of the markers in my life, one of the big memories that has shaped me of who I am today, is I didn't get a lot. Like, I was a super compliant kid growing up. And my mother would tell you.
She said he was perfect until he met me.
Yes. That's your favorite.
Yes.
But thankfully, she lives with us now, so it's not really a conflict ever.
Although I'm perfect in her eyes now.
You are. And so I was an easy kid. I didn't get in trouble. I watched my brother get in trouble constantly. And I just look at him and go, God, I don't even feel like they're really demanding that much. Why don't you just do it? Because. And I go, I'm just going to do it. It's my opportunity. I'm doing it. I'm going to call them if I'm late. Doesn't feel like a big deal. So I don't know how old I was, 7 or 8 years old, and I don't even hardly remember the circumstances. All I remember is that I got spanked for something I did not do. Now, this was, you know, in a time when you were allowed to spank your children and not be put in prison. My dad was so disturbed. He had us make a
color
paddling stick that was really thick. He drilled holes in it, which was sick. And then he brought it into the house. This is our new paddling stick, and I want you guys to color it. We're all like, I'm like, look at him going, I'm three, and I know this is inappropriate. So we literally colored that. I wonder if someone has that.
No, y'all probably threw it away as soon as you could.
I don't know.
That'd be weird.
But anyways, I got in trouble for something I hadn't done. I tried to tell him it wasn't me, and it normally wasn't me, but he was in a mood. And so I got paddled, and then the truth came out. And the next thing you know, my dad is back in my room on his knees, begging forgiveness. And then he brought the spanking stick and said, I deserve a paddling, and so I give you permission. And he got in the paddling position. I'm like holding this thing, going, you know, this is it. But then, you know, I'm a kid. I'm not a moron. So I'm like, yeah, surely this doesn't work out. You know? I'm like, something doesn't feel safe about this. I'm like, one? I think I'm going to hold this one in my back pocket for a long time.
Yeah.
So 1 Peter 5:5, in the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of elders, and all of you, dress, clothe yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud. Proverbs 16:5, the Lord detests the proud. They will surely be punished. What?
Keep going. Things are good.
I was going to keep going.
Sorry.
Should I click the button?
Yeah, click the button.
Now?
Yeah, now.
Okay. Isaiah. I'm like going, keep going. I will. Now I don't want to. I want to rebel. Isaiah 13:11. I, the Lord, will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their sin. I will crush the arrogance of the proud and humble the pride of the mighty. I mean, are you getting a theme yet? Like, what's the last thing on earth you want to be? Prideful. And when you're really wanting a family that's close and connected, a close-knit family, pride destroys that.
And I love that, you know, in this scripture, it's talking about the Pharisees. And the Pharisees started out really trying to be very godly. But what happened is their pride crept in. And the pride of, oh, I know how to do everything. I know how to do it. And I'm going to write scripture. And I'm going to, you know, put it on out there in really wide band so that it can all be seen by all. And I'm going to show how religious I am. And isn't that funny that sometimes as parents, Michael's dad showed the opposite? Is that he clothes himself with humility. And sometimes Michael and I clothe ourselves with humility. When we do make a mistake, we own it. When we do need to walk in humility, there's a sense when we mess up, we're going to model the behavior for them that we want from them, which is if I want you to see from you humility, I'm going to show you that I can be humble as well.
It's even more global. I mean, because that's Christ's words, right? Do for others as you'd like them to do for, right? And that's what we're trying to encourage you, is that you want to treat people how you want to be treated. And you tend to get that reciprocated. And so, I mean, I can't tell you how many times with people, my children, in intensives, whatever, unfortunately, we never have an excuse to do the wrong thing. Ever. So if your kid, like I had a family, I wanted to kill this guy, but he found his daughter like in the middle of the night, his stomach was upset, he went to the kitchen. They were a courtship family, right? Which it can get a little goofy. And they were clearly doing this for the wrong reasons. And he's like 2 a.m, he goes by his daughter's room, he hears some wrestling, bursts in there, and she's naked with a dude doing things. And so he's mortified, he throws the boy out, which is fine. But then he proceeded to throw every single thing in her room out the second story window. And when I say everything, I mean literally the mattress, the bed frame, the dresser, the clothing. The entire room was emptied with his anger, throwing it out the second floor window. And so as he's describing this, and he was very proud of himself, because she knows that that's not allowed in my home. I was making notes, and I wasn't really paying attention. And he finally was like, well, don't you have anything to say? And what are you writing? I went, oh, I'm sorry. I was just writing a guaranteed pregnancy contract. I'd like you to sign on the bottom. And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, dude, your daughter wants to know whether you love her no matter what. And yesterday you showed her you don't. So was she making a mistake? Yeah, she was. And then he compounded that error by also behaving not okay. And so just know that if you respond to your kids, to each other, if you respond negatively to something that was done to you negatively, do you not get? You are now literally just as guilty. So if your kid, you know, if you get a call in the middle of the night and it's the police station going, your son's been arrested for a DWI, and you go pick him up and you just scream and curse and shame and condemn, you're no better. And in fact, you could might be worse, because you might be like a Pharisee. How did Christ feel like about the Pharisees? Oh, let's read. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with tattoos on their chest. Wait, what? No, boxes with scripture verses inside. And they wear robes with extra long tassels. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? What sorrow awaits you? Hypocrites, for you build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed, and you decorate the monuments of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Then you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, and I love that because Christians do that today. It is so funny, the pride that we have. Oh, well, I mean, it'd be so much easier for me to believe in Jesus if I was there at the time. And I'm always quick to remind them that, dude, like the vast majority of people rejected him in the time because he came across like a nutcase. And I'm guessing you would have been with the masses. But in saying that, you testify against yourselves that you are indeed the descendants of those who murder the prophets. Go ahead and finish what your ancestors started. Man, Jesus is like really intense. Snakes, sons of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell? So, hypocrites. That's what a hypocrite in a simple family situation is, that your spouse, your child, your parent, they do something wrong, and you're a hypocrite if you do something wrong back. You're a fake. And that stuff really matters. Like, what I'm trying to say is that, especially as a family unit, the really big bombs that go off, right? We all have them. Trust me, I've been there. I will not share them because there are other lives involved. But boom, those are the moments you need to stop, take a breath, and remember who you need to be in that time. Because you can't mess those things up. And again, and a lot of that even comes down to how I view trials. So for me, that trial is really just an opportunity for growth. So it's not the end of the world. People do recover. and frankly aren't. I mean, my favorite people on the planet are those who have a story, right? They're the greatest. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out and make, you know, major mistakes.
I think that's really hard as a mother to hear that, because, or maybe it's both, but I think it's especially hard for me, because if you see your child going down the wrong path, it's really hard to watch them and to go, oh, but they're going to have a really great story someday. Yeah, God is so going to bring them back and all that, right? That's really hard. But it takes a tremendous amount of faith to be able to say, I love my child. I love them, but they are not mine. They're God's. God loves them before I do. God, when I think about Abraham and Isaac and how he literally, this son that he thought that, you know, God, you've given, he waited forever. I mean, he was old when he had him. And so how could he offer him up? How could he sacrifice him? And he had so much faith that he was like, God will just bring him back to life. I don't know. But I don't know how it's going to work, but he's going to work. And it's a mystery. Don't know how, but I have faith. There's a part of that is such an incredible thing for us. And when you were talking about trials and how trials produce perseverance, and perseverance, righteousness, hope, how do we do that? We have to be able to invest in hope. So being able to honor our children means that we have to honor sometimes their choices, and honoring even sometimes their harder choices, that their choices too maybe go into a bad direction. We're not going to advocate for them. Like, we're not going to say, oh my gosh, go for it. Please get on drugs. Yay, right? No, we're not going to do that. But we're going to say to our children, you are loved no matter what. No matter what, you're loved. Consequences, that's going to be a whole different story. Life, you're just going to make it a little bit harder for yourself. This choice that you're making right now, it is going to make life harder for you. But I honor you and I love you, and you, I have faith and trust that God will allow, God is going to bring everything together for good.
And you have to say it. It actually does matter to use the words, to verbalize. Like, I don't know. I mean, there's been a countless amount of times that I tell each one of my kids, I've told you, that I love you no matter what. That will never change. There's nothing you could do that would ever make me stop loving you. It doesn't mean I don't parent. Doesn't mean I don't discipline. All that stuff still happens. But at the end of the day, if you really want a truly close-knit family, that is the thing that binds you together, is that unconditional love and acceptance. And not, again, not acceptance on, oh, great, you're into human trafficking. No, I won't call the cops. It's accepting them, faults and all, the good and the ugly. And what's crazy is this is all that really matters, right? All that really matters in your life are the people you are closest to, which happens usually to be your family. Now, I know some of you can't be close with your family. Maybe there's abusive history, because still people to be in relationship with you obviously have to earn that. They have to show that they can honor you, not be perfect, but that they can honor you. And so you might have some pretty hefty boundaries on people in your life, which is actually a way to honor them. Mm-hmm. But this really matters, because when it comes to that end of time, and that was one of the other blessings of my father's graduation, is the level of peace he felt. Mm-hmm. I mean, really did he not?
Yeah.
Because I mean, absolutely. I don't fully remember how it went down, but I remember you were a little like, wait, what did you talk to him about when I brought up the home hospice stuff?
Yeah.
Were you not there when I had that conversation with him? And then you came home later and you found out about it.
I came home later and found out that he was going on hospice, and I wasn't ready.
No.
I was like, no, excuse me, you're still talking to me. You don't need to be on hospice. We're just fine. And he was like, no, he goes, I'm ready. And I was like,
I know, that's what
I said, what am I going to say? I go, what am I going to say to all the people that are going to want to say goodbye to you and going to want to love you? He goes, see ya. You know, I'll see you in heaven.
See
ya.
Suckers.
And it was such a peace that he, and I was like, gosh, I go, I may not be ready, but he's ready. And so who am I, to tell this man that has endured such an incredible hardship. And granted, we've done it together, a lot of it together. I was the one that could stay in the hospital and stuff with him because I could. It didn't bother me to sleep in chairs.
I didn't fit
and all
in those chairs.
Stuff. Yeah. And And so, you know, I mean, so I, you know, when he went to the hospital, I went to the hospital. He went to rehab. I went to rehab. I mean, it's just, you know, eventually he let me go home at night. But I mean, for a while there, no, he needed somebody there like every night. And so I did that for him and I loved him and I honored him. And it was a, you know, that's the, you know what, that's the crazy thing is that when you do something like that, that is really, it is to honor him. I wanted that man to feel loved. I just did. I wanted his death to be a graduation. I wanted him to know without a shadow of a doubt. And I will say that is also something that our family experienced as well. We know how to honor our elders because my kids honored their grandfather. They sacrificed for him. They loved him. Didn't mean that there weren't some instances where we kind of had to, you know, take his keys away and, you know, have to say, you know what, Poppy, you just hit that car. It's probably not a good idea to have the keys right now.
Well, it's when I drove home with David. I think it was David and I. We pulled up into our driveway. My dad has his car, but it's kind of off the side and in the ditch. Like, not a ditch, but like about that much of a fall thing. I went, ooh, that doesn't look good. But I couldn't see because it was kind of around the house. And as we walked around, I went, oh, no, it's happened. I thought he was dead because the door was open, and he literally had 1 foot out of the car and was slumped over sound asleep. He literally fell asleep trying to get out of his car, and I went, oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, but we honored him.
That's a really fun thing, by the way, to take away your parents' keys.
Well, I mean, but we honored him. We honored him by—
Anybody ever have to do that?
Yeah, we honored him by taking a pad everywhere we went. I mean, because he had no padding on the back, so we honored him by taking a pad. It took a tremendous amount of time to get anywhere, you know. And guess what? Our kids, anytime they would start to complain, nope. Guess what? That is your grandfather. We love him. And, you know, Reagan was amazing. I mean, she would stay sometimes with him and do things for him. Cole would take him to the doctor. I mean, our family loved him. Now, there was a lot of that he had done a lot of years of honoring us, a lot of years to do that. And there's some of you, I have clients that maybe their in-laws have not honored them, but yet they have honored their spouse. They have honored their mother-in-law. I had this one client that honored her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law was nasty to her. I mean, it's just terrible. But God has a chance to show her, you are loved. You have given my love out. It will not return void. And I think that that's so much of the world's way of saying that's what honor is. Honor is something that, you know, you earned and it either comes, you know, it's either there and you've earned it, you've achieved it or not.
You've lost it.
Or you lose it. God's honor says, you know what, as you give it, then you receive it from me. That's, I think, what, you know, what our culture and what we want our relationships and our family, that's what we want it to look like. We want it to look like that we do sacrifice for each other. We do honor each other. And what I, you know, just love about what we're able to do now is that we're able to make lists and memories and think about all the funny things and the not so funny things, but being able to do those kinds of things, you know, the pros and cons of living with living with your dad, it all is a way to honor him. Because honoring doesn't just mean that you just love the best. It means that you kind of accept the grouchy part, or you accept the, you know, okay, he was always cold all the time and he wore his hat everywhere and, you know, and he put earplugs in his ears when he was around my family because everybody was so loud. It was so funny. But anyway, those are fun little things that we love about him.
My favorite is we were something and her family was very loud.
We are loud.
And my father, I've kind of gotten distracted in the conversation. I don't know, but he's literally sitting on one of their big love chair, whatever, those lazy boy kind of chairs, and he's sitting like this, 75 years old. I was like, okay. I go, you ready to go? He's like, very loud.
I love that.
So honor is a choice. It takes humility. It's not performance-based. And I actually had, was it 2 weeks ago, I interviewed Dr. Gary Chapman for our podcast. And near the end, I got some pretty amazing gold out of him. And it actually wasn't a love language, believe it or not. So I actually gave him a lot of grief over the love language. So I'd be curious on how he felt the interview went. I argued. I finally got to argue with him that there's a sixth love language of sarcasm. Who's with me? Yeah. Well, just so you know, he totally flat out rejected that idea. Didn't even come close. I tried to and it wasn't good at all. And so actually it was a great interview, a lot of fun. But one of the things he said that stood out, which is why it's one of the points, is that I was like, all right, you've been married, I think 56 years now to his wife. And I go, give it to me. And it can't be a love language. I go, what's the secret? And he kind of paused and he goes, you know what? And he has that sweet Southern, North Carolina accent. And he's like, well, Michael, honestly, it comes down to accepting each other's faults. I went, well, what? What do you, wait, hold on, because I'm not ready to accept her faults. Yet. No, but really what it comes down to, he goes, the things that we used to fight and argue about today, we find cute, adorable, and we can actually laugh about it. So I'm just going to encourage you. There's a lot of stuff that you get worked up over, and you don't need to get worked up over it. It's not life or death, right? It's kind of like I said at the beginning, relax. And I know a lot of that is my personality. So when I say relax, what goes into your head? Be honest. Yeah. Who's like Amy?
Oh, someone tells me to relax, and it makes me tense.
And you're you're of the devil. Not
no,
you.
No, it just makes
me.
You tense. It just makes me feel like, oh, yeah, I know.
How many people do I have? We are in California. There could...
See, yeah.
Yeah, not very many. You guys could start a club.
Yeah.
How many of you are more like me? Where that's more of a natural state. It's easy. Yeah, this dude's yeah, I like it. That was perfect. He's like, I relax. Vodka helps too.
No. Stop it.
Maybe it is.
I'm sorry. He does these kinds of things just to rile you up. So just so you know.
Actually.
And he does them actually to irritate me. To
I
get
do
under
them to
my,
rile you up.
Yes. And so that I'll maybe touch my hair a little bit.
She does.
And then I'll be like.
Have you noticed that yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. That's my main goal when we're teaching together is just to get her feeling uncomfortable.
I'm like, yeah.
She starts
and I start
this.
Going like this. Yeah.
My favorite thing she does. Is I'll make some absurd comment, right? This morning...
Like this is vodka?
Even worse. One time I said, yeah, I waking up early in the morning, smoking my crack pipe, and then getting a cup of coffee. And she literally has to stop. She goes, no, I just want to make sure everyone understands he doesn't really smoke crack. people look at me and think he's a crack addict. Maybe I should. That's a diet idea.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other...
Messes up your
okay,
teeth.
See, yeah, no, okay. See, I even in that, I get involved. I'm like, yeah, no, you wouldn't want to do that because I was so silly. Yeah, I know. Anyway.
She's Ms. Literal.
Yes, I am. So you have to honor that. You love that about me, right?
Yes. I actually do laugh at that a lot.
Yeah, you do. I
do. All right, you want one really awesome literal story?
No.
Or do you just want to go home and forget about
yes,
it?
Yes, it's so...
This is so amazing. So I'm complaining about how do my socks disappear and yada, yada. And she's like, I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And I went, no, I think I figured it out. There is a black hole in my closet and it sucks in all the socks. And she literally looks at me and goes, she starts thinking, the thinking face. And I'm like, what is she doing? She's like, wait a minute. I don't think so. And I go, you don't think what? I don't think there's a black hole in your closet. And I went, wait. I go, you took that literal? Well, you said it. And I just looked at her and I went, you're right. Got me. I can't get nothing past you. I don't think there could be a black hole in your closet.
Anyway, wrap it up, buddy. Wrap it up. Come on.
I'm going to keep going. All right. We'll wrap it up.
Yes.
So here's one of the big action points that we would love you to do. And you can do it while you're here. You can write it down, put it on your smart device, whatever you need. Actually, if you had our app, you could actually make this list on your phone and save it on your phone and email it to people, namely the person you're making it about. But one of the ways that's super practical is to literally make a list of the things, the character and personality, just the traits of the person that you want to honor and the things that you appreciate about them, the things that you love about them. And the reason we want that list, one, is we're being proactive in our mind on what we're going to focus on in the other person. Two, that's a wonderful list to use as a reminder when you're not feeling so honoring towards that person. Because the truth about everybody, I mean, it's super complicated. Listen, you're not all good, and you're not all bad. Bad people do very good things. Very good people do really bad things. And if you doubt me, who loves the Bible that you get to read? Do you like it? It's kind of cool, right? Who was kind of the first main dude to translate that into German? Martin Luther, big hero of the faith, right? That's a really good thing that he did, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You also know that the way Hitler was able to justify the eradication of the Jews was Martin Luther's papers and essays on why the Jews should be eradicated. That was not a good thing. So people, listen, everybody has good and bad. And so your choice is, what are you going to focus on? Mm-hmm. And I can see some of the faces. Are going, yeah, but there's really bad thing that people do. Yeah, I get it. I know.
And it's not that we don't want you to address those things.
Yes.
It's not that those things are not going to be addressed.
But it can't be your focus.
That's it.
Especially with your family.
Because your focus really could be either surrender those things over to God, if they're not anything that you have influence over. Some of the things that we're so focused in on, oh my gosh, why can't my child X, Y, and Z? You know, why can't they blah, 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 blah? That needs to be something that I surrender to God. And I focus in on the positive so that I can be a part of helping God's love and grace. And also, but when I surrender it over to God, I'm also saying, God, you are the author of justice and mercy. And so you get to choose right now, based on who you are, how you teach, how you love, what the consequences are. And I don't want my fear or my junk, however I might handle things poorly, I don't want to let that get in the way of me loving and honoring this person, loving and honoring this family member. Absolutely.
I have no idea when we're supposed to finish.
It's now.
8:15.
Oh, good. Oh,
perfect. We're a little early, which will make you happy.
Yeah.
My son is doing some dance moves. Have I forgotten something?
The book table.
Oh, yeah. There's a resource table. Forgot all about that. So, yes, we will be here all week. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, what is tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Monday.
Ugh, I know. What are we teaching on?
Let's see. I don't know. What are we teaching on?
I can't even remember.
Black holes. Yes, that's it.
The incredibly rare phenomenon that happens in my closet. So we're going to continue our discussion on what it takes. I don't know why I'm blanking on this.
The close-knit family. That we're going to continue on with that.
Communication.
Okay.
Yes. So a close-knit family is able to communicate in a healthy, loving way. And that's really big, because how many of you ever run into communication issues?
Well, it'll help that last question that we were just talking about how do you honor someone and yet also be able to not be able to do anything possibly about it? And how do we communicate when we maybe have felt dishonored or when we don't agree with someone's reactions or different things like that? Takes communication. Takes good communication.
We have resources that we have brought. We have our marriage book, Reignite Your Marriage in 2 Days, which is really, really cool. And we have some really good spiritual growth resources back there called Jesus Speaks, which is a 365-day devotional. But it's one of my dad's best friends. My son is modeling it as I speak. I'll tell you why you want to go to the resource table, because I give you permission to ask him anything.
Or Reagan.
Or Reagan. Yeah, you will get some weirdness, I'll be honest. Just nothing dishonoring. So, like, eliminate cuss words. So, Jesus Speaks is really, one of my dad's best friends was Stephen K. Scott, and he wrote it as if Jesus himself wrote it. I'm just telling you, like, open it up. And actually, what would be cool is go, so it actually has the date for all 365, so you can actually go to your birthday. Mm-hmm. And just check it out and look at it. It'll blow your mind. Steve is a unique dude.
Yes.
And it's really cool. And so we have some other resources back there as well, and we'd be happy to take your questions. So every time when we're done, we're not really done. So if you want to come up and privately ask something that maybe came up for you, or you just want to ask me how I got this good looking, I like to share my beauty secrets.
Which, do you want us to close in prayer, or do you want to? Okay, I'll close this.
Wait, okay, but last thing is Smalley Marriage Radio. That's my baby. So here's why I launched this thing. I got really tired of the same old Christian voices. Not to disparage anyone, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of heads nodding. So I will tell you, this is not your normal Christian kind of podcast talk show thing. So I have a lot of fun with my co-host, Seth Johnson, and we interview some pretty amazing people, but then we also give out a lot of advice and take a lot of the questions from listeners. So it's a really fun show, a little bit irreverent in a healthy, loving way, not like crazy. Kind of like earlier, our bonding moment. It's a lot of stuff like that. Now you can pray.
Speaking of irreverent, should we? Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding.
You should pray.
Here, I will pray. I'm the reverent one. Father, thank you so much that we can laugh and that we can love and that we can honor. It is only because you have modeled that. God, thank you so much for allowing your son to die for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and that you clothed yourself in our human body and you humbled yourself. I thank you so much for your sacrifice. God, I pray that the words that were spoken tonight, God, I pray that they would, that there would be deep wells and that they would go down deep and it would be words that would minister to the hearts of the families, of the parents that are here and possibly the children that are here. God, I just pray that you would be the author of honor in their families. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all.
Yeah, thanks. We'll be in the
back. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.